A reading from Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky grounds where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the good news. Please be seated. Over the past several weeks, we've been moving through a sermon series on a God-first life, pondering why the church matters and what difference it makes when we follow God through the world. We've considered how, with God leading us, we experience beloved identity, abundant time, sacred purpose, and joyful community. So on this last week, it begs the question, now what? Now what? It's easy to say that all of those ideals are great, that we want them in our lives, but following God takes constant commitment and effort. It takes eyes carefully watching, ears actively listening, hearts soft and open, and minds curious and receptive to challenge. Following God is a daily priority, a lifestyle, full on, not a one-time decision. Well, thankfully, since none of us gets that right all the time, the mark of the church has never been God's demand for her perfection. In fact, one of the best things about following God is that we get a fresh start each and every day. We get to wake up and try again. With God, there's no such thing as too late or getting cut from the team. There's love and there's welcome when we make anything else a priority. There's non-judgmental conviction and gentle reminders to come back to the way of God when we lack in those gifts of identity, time, purpose, and community. But at the end of the day, a God-first life does mean heeding that reminder and coming back to God each and every day. Part of the beauty behind a fall kickoff like we're doing this weekend is that it's a chance to not only celebrate those gifts in our lives, but also to recommit ourselves to following God even more deeply as we dive into a new year of spiritual growth, ministry, and belonging. At the beginning of a new year, as we make plans to participate in the life of ministry here, we are saying collectively that we want to seek out God's hopes and dreams and will, and that we choose to be accountable to each other for it. That we will continue to live out the baptismal promises that we make together all the time, promises to share the stories of God's love, faithfulness, and calling for us as found in the Holy Scriptures. Promises to come together to the house of God for worship and praise. Promises to yearn to be compassionate and just seekers of peace. As we kick off another year, we are acknowledging that we need to be together regularly to discern and live out God's callings for us in and beyond these walls. Are we saying that following God can't be done any other way and it can't be done any other place but here? No, that's a little bit narrow and a lot bit arrogant. What we're saying is that we see something beautiful and something special here that's worth being a part of and building up together. We've seen it. We see it in Sunday school for our young ones, and in Building Blocks preschool, we've seen young children learning that they belong inside God's love no matter what. In our elementary-aged Shine program, we've heard children singing, joyfully expressing themselves, and realizing that people of all ages have gifts to share. On Wednesday nights in Rise and Fly, we've seen our middle and high schoolers creating lasting, safe, life-giving relationships that they can't always find at school. We hear them asking tough questions about scripture and about faith in a place that welcomes their wonderings instead of making them think they have to have all the answers to be faithful. Here in this place, we've seen people without any family nearby creating family within these walls, sharing hopes and dreams and worries in parent fellowship or in small groups. We've seen our chronologically gifted friends and other adults feeling seen and known, building belonging and support systems as they meet for fellowship, mutual care, digging into God's word more deeply, or even just making a joyful noise together with music. We've seen people learning more about how to listen to other stories instead of centering their own, seeing the beauty and walking alongside somebody instead of trying to fix them, through things like the ELCA Youth Gathering or time spent at LifeWise STL or with Feed the Need. So why church? Not because it's perfect or because everything else outside of it is worthless or beyond God's love, but church matters. Following God matters because in this place, on this path, even with our flaws, there's something good and important happening here that we can't always find in the world. And friends, the world is yearning for something new, something different, something hopeful. The gift of the church is that it's always been called to be countercultural in just the right and all the best ways. Because when we follow God first, we offer an alternative to selfishness, isolation, violence, independence, and division. Because here we don't have to have it all together to participate or even to lead. We're allowed to be works in progress and find growth at the same time. We can fail and we can fall and hear words of forgiveness and grace reminding us of our belovedness. Because here, even when we're unsure or we are exhausted individually, we are able to do big, bold, loving things collectively. Consider the lesson on seed sowing from the gospel. If God is the sower, then our opportunity is to help cultivate the soil. So consider those types of ground that we heard in the story and how each of them could be nurtured and transformed with the right tools. Jesus said that the seed that fell on the path and was eaten up by the birds was like someone who doesn't understand God's word. Well, guess what, friends? None of us fully understands God's word, but together we study, we interpret, we listen, we learn, we wonder. Scripture says that iron sharpens iron. When we are experiencing God's word in this place and wrestling with it together, we help each other to better understand it, changing that bird-laden path to good soil. Consider the seed that was sown on rocky ground. It had no depth when hardship came and it withered. Well, depth comes from trust, relationship, time spent together. The more we walk alongside each other, the more we challenge each other with new ideas, the more we learn from our differences, the more accountability we have, the more we create depth, changing rocky ground to good soil. As for the seed that fell among the thorns of wealth and were choked out, those seeds were ruined by distractions and false nourishments. But when we show up for each other with loving honesty, commitment to second chances, and regular encouragement, we are slowly removing thorns for one another and for ourselves, changing the ground to good soil. When we seek to follow God first as a whole community, we have a chance to help cultivate the soil for one another. And then we watch as God, the sower and the grower, does the rest, yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. What would it look like if our entire community were committed to following God's way of life first and foremost this season? If God's dreams and priorities became our dreams and priorities, what sort of yield would there be? What would that look like? So our challenge to you at the end of this series is to consider what it might look like in your own life to follow God this fall. What might need to shift to make that happen? And dream about what it could yield. It will take effort. It will take commitment. It will take us being together, but the fruit could make all the difference. If we listen closely, we can hear God's words echoing out from Isaiah 43, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Let's find out together, friends, what new and beautiful things await in a God-first life. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are always there and always ready to be first in our lives, and that when you are first, it's not an obligation or some sort of works righteousness, but a chance to fall into your love, to find ourselves with identity and time and purpose and community. So help us to lean into that and to live out of it this fall, finding joy and hope and life in you. In Jesus' name.